We were at the Mishnah on the bet. So how, now we're dealing with another case, right? We talked about giving it to a non-Jew to watch, whatever. Now we're talking about, what if you go to an inn, a hotel? And it was quite common that what people would do is they would give raw food to the bed and breakfast owner, and they would cook it for you. Right? That was apparently that was a normal thing to do. So no tain lifundakit, you gave it to the inn owner. Maaser et shehu notain la. That which you gave her, you must give maaser on. Ve et shehu notel mimena. That which you give her, you have to give, and that which you take from her, because you're worried that she's going to eat what you have, and therefore you're responsible for what you gave her. And you're worried that she switched it, and therefore what she gave you back is not what you gave her, and therefore you have to give maaser again. Because you are worried that she traded it out. And this is even if he gave you back raw food. Now, this appears in the Bavli as well. And the Bavli asked, I don't understand, doesn't this contradict our previous Mishnah? Because the previous Mishnah said, Namaretz is not suspect of stealing and trading, only the Kuti and the non-Jew. Here we're saying that they are. So, what? Right, so innkeepers are different, but the question, and we'll see, Rashi and Tosfot there argue about why they're different, and we're going to see that the Yerushalmi is going to seem to support one side, but I won't bias you yet. But Rashi says that the reason it's different is because she thinks she's doing it for a good reason. Namely, who wants to be staying in a hotel? In a bed and breakfast. Eitan is staying in bed and breakfast, and the owner of this bed and breakfast, Mrs. Five Stars, right? She, wow. Right? She has a reputation to maintain, and Eitan brought, you know, what? Yeah, Eitan brought, he packed for a trip the way we packed to Bahrain, you know, not the best of ingredients. He had a pack of whatever, wraps and some vegetables that are not so great and whatever. And
maybe like 5 or 6 packs of frozen.
Or whatever. Now, even though Eitan gave her the food, right, you'd think that he's okay. Whatever comes out from that comes out, right? It's like we couldn't blame, you know, Chabad there. We brought the food. Whatever we brought, you know? But no, she wants him, right? It doesn't matter. She knows that psychologically, whether he has a experience and is going to give a 5-star review, whatever, comes down to whether he enjoys. And therefore, just because he brought the bad food doesn't mean that he's not going to, right, incorporate, right, when if the food is bad, even if it's his own fault, he's not going to enjoy it and he's not going to give the same rating. So she switches it out and gives him better food. So Rashi says that's why. It's not that we think that a Jew is going to steal for bad reasons, but maybe they won't realize, that they won't understand that that's also stealing. Right? Tosfot, on the other hand, says no. She's doing it because innkeepers are particularly dishonest and they're trying to make a little bit of extra money, right? In addition to the money they're paying on the room, it's like, oh, I can also make a little bit by replacing his, you know, grade A carrots with not such great. Garrett? Now, Amar Rab Yossi, right? Now, Amar Rab Yossi says, Ein anu achra'in l'ramayin. Rab Yossi says, we are not responsible for thieves and tricksters. Eino Maaser Elamashu no tell me mena bilvad. And therefore what you give her, it's not your problem. If she swaps it out, there's a rule that we find in Halacha sometimes called Halitehu Lirasha Viyamut. And so there's a Mishnah in Shviat that says if something is Arla, so you have to, and it's Shemitah, then you have to do something to make it clear that it is Shemitah. Then it's Erla, because since during Shemitah everything is hefker and people are allowed to eat your produce, they're just going to come into your yard and have your fruit. The tree is Erla. They're not going to know. So you have to tell them. Right? Now, in the Mishnah's time, the way you did it was you broke a piece of pottery and dropped it there, right? Yeah. We talked about this. As I told you, that when I was here three Shemitahs ago, I was in Shenabet. And Ray Bednar said that he had a tree like this, and he wanted to, you know, his wife Liara wanted to put up a sign, and he wanted to put smashed pottery shards, and he's like, "What do you mean it's a Mishnah?" And she's like, "People won't know. You're doing two lamdish. You'll make it." Great. But what about in a normal year? So the conclusion la halacha is that you don't have to worry about them. Let them feed the Rasha, let him die. It's not your fault. Okay. Now, the odd thing here is that according to Rashi, this is very weird because you're saying that about somebody who is doing this to help you. Right? Right? She's doing this to help you and you're saying let her die. I mean, like, so Rashi Cirilio, who does hold like Rashi, tries to solve this and he says, V'avak av d'hachla mitzvah mitkavenet, even though she's trying to do a mitzvah, in the end of the day, she's a person who's chashud on demai, and she's causing him a loss, whether she means to or not. Right? She's doing something wrong, and therefore it's not your fault. So now the Gemara comments on this mission, Meiser Sheni, right? That by someone who owns Ravai Arla, you have to mark it. Sorry, it's mission Meiser Sheni, right, about Shemitah. That's what I meant. The Rosh Hashanah Gamliel requires marking it during Shemitah, but not in other years. So now the Gemara notes the similarity. Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, Shnei and Amru Devar Echad, Kimad Rabbi Yossi, Amen and Noachrayin L'Ramayin, because just like Rabbi Yossi said, we're not worried in this case about thieves. So Kain Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, Amen and Noachrayin L'Ramayin. And that's Rosh Hashanah Gamliel holds that in a year which isn't Shemitah, I don't have to mark my Arlo, my Netar Revai. Then the Gemara says, no. Mistabra Rabbi Yossi Yodel Rosh Hashanah Gamliel says it's true. Rabbi Yossi would agree with Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel lo yodi le Rabbi Yossi. But Rosh Hashanah Gamliel will not agree with Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi Yodel Rosh Hashanah Gamliel Shein Nachrayin L'Ramayin. Rabbi Yossi is a general rule in life that you don't have to worry about the sins of people who are stealing. But Rashi Ben Gamliel will say, listen, here there's an extra problem, which is if it's in your Rishut, so fine. But here you're giving her something, and as we've seen, there's a separate problem that what is a Chaver never allowed to do? Let produce leave his Rishut, that is not Mitukan. And therefore, he says, in this case, you're giving it to somebody else. It's a right? So that's the problem. You can't do this, and therefore, you are responsible here. That's the way the Marfolda understands this. The Gra says a little bit differently. He says, Perish Efshar to Savar Hakhajak Ladakim Neshu Notin Lo Biadayim. The problem is here, you're actively involved. And that is worse. Being actively involved is worse. Okay, right? You're not giving it to the thief, but here, you're giving it to the thief, and that is worse. Right? I mentioned to you at the time, I think, when we talked about this a little bit in Shemitah, the position of Rav Zilberstein, right? Which became a huge controversy in Bnei Brak when there was a case in America of someone who was bullied and people would steal his lunch every day. When he worked in a lab, so one day he laced the sandwich with poison, right? And then when the person who stole it started dying, he refused to tell them which poison he used, so that the person would die, and they only managed to last minute figure out what it was and save his life. And then someone asked Zilberstein about this, and he said, "Lo rak shehu mutter ela mitzvah mishum halite ela rasha v'yamut." It's not only that it's permitted, but it is a mitzvah to do this, because Hashem rasha v'yamut. And then all the gedolim in Bnei Brak went completely crazy on him and wrote articles against him like, you've got to be kidding. And then he doubled down and he wrote two articles providing like 18 different proofs that he was right. No, I do not find it compelling. I agree with the people who critiqued him that you shouldn't try to murder someone just because they stole your sandwich. I mean, it's bad to steal sandwiches, but the point is, yesh gvul, right? So the gvul in that case is don't kill someone because they stole your sandwich.
Maybe just
Right, yesh ladun, but here. Right, you have the Groz thing is, look, his line is not killing someone, right? His line, the Groz line is different. The Groz line is, even though they shouldn't be stealing it, you handed it into their hands. And that's more, a deep involvement, and that is usur, right? So there are limits. For the Groz, don't put it in their hands. And for Zilberstein, it isn't even killing them for selling your sandwich. For most of the other poskim, death was actually the line that they drew it at, right? Is that if they're stealing my stuff, I don't have to worry about them having Arla because they shouldn't be stealing my stuff.
It's better that you should die.
So then the Gemara says, okay, Hanotein Lachamoto. So what if you give it to your mother-in-law? Right, same case, but this time it's not Eitan at five-star bed and breakfast, but it is... since Kobe missed this, it's Kobe, who is now married because Simon is his agent and Simon is dead set on telling the whole world of how good of a catch you are. So because of Simon's tireless efforts, very quickly, Kobe becomes engaged and then he's staying by Simon. He gives his mother-in-law, food. Right? And his, whatever, his mother-in-law is not a Chaver's family, right? So, Ma'aser Etchehu Notain La, he has to be Ma'aser that which he gives her, Etchehu Notel Mimena, right? So, same case, he's worried that the mother-in-law is going to switch it. Mipnei Shi Chashuda Lechalev Et Hamikal Kel. Because she is going to switch it out, switch out that which spoiled. Why? Because what mother-in-law, right? So we're going to see two reasons. The first reason is going to be because Kobe is married to said person's daughter, right? It's one thing that, okay, you want to be a yeshiva guy and eat whatever disgusting stuff yeshiva guys, that's your problem. But now you're married to my daughter. You're going to let her have spoiled food. Pastish, right? I'll switch it for my own stuff, right? Number one. And Amr of Yehuda, adds, "Roti bitakanat bito vosha mechatana." Right? No, there's two reasons. One is that you care about your daughter, but you're also embarrassed, right? You want to look good in front of your son-in-law,
especially Kobe.
Umoda Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda agrees, "Benotin lachamoto shviit," that if he gave her shmita, brodu sheina chashud lachliv lachil bita shviit, that if it's shmita. She's not going to switch it out because she's not going to play with Shemitah, right? People, even though in general his mother-in-law might want to make sure that he has the best of food, if he tells her that this is Shemitah, she's not going to risk messing up on Shemitah. Now, according to the Rash, this is during Shemitah, and the case is where Kobe the Chaver gave her non-Shemitah produce. And the reason that she's not chashud is because he gave her non-Shemitah produce, which doesn't have limitations. She's not going to switch it in for most of the produce that exists, which is Shemitah, because as we talked about last year, you guys know well, Shemitah produce is much harder to deal with. According to the Rambam, the case is no. Kobe gave her something which is kadosh, and people take it very seriously, and therefore they're not going to mess with Shemitah produce. Now, which of these perushim you take? So, as we saw earlier, a few daf ago, there's a machloket lahalacha, whether we think that Amei Aretz are careful about the laws of Shemitah or not. Our Mishnah seems to say yes. But the Rosh Cirilio says, in many places implies no. So how does the Rosh Cirilio solve this problem? If you want to be very technical. No, he says... Yeah, exactly. Where Rabbi Huda lived, people were careful. Where Kobe goes to get married, everybody there is very careful about Shemitah. What? No, he's going to the place where they keep Shemitah.
Oh, right, that's the good place. I'm sorry, this is just, you missed it. You missed this conversation before, because Simon is just set on, first he tried me to find someone for you, but he said that's because he's your agent. So he decided he's your shidduch agent.
He told me that he had
anyways, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, I'm sorry, I'm using my example, but Morty can attest to the fact that this is Simon's fault. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, Af kadmeta al daitid Rabbi Yehuda. The Mishnah's first statement is also according to Rabbi Yehuda, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Amar kinotein lefundakit. That meaning the previous Mishnah is combined with this Mishnah, and this is what that he is the author both of the halacha of the innkeeper and the mother-in-law case. Now this is where the Rush argues that the Yerushalmi supports Rashi, because the mother-in-law case, it's clear that the reason she's switching is for good reasons. No, and if you compare the innkeeper to the mother-in-law and say that these are a continuum, right, and the concerns are the same in both cases, and then that's clear that in both cases you think that they are doing it for positive reasons, right? So again, sorry, the Rosh, right? The Rosh says the fact that Gemara seems to equate the case of the innkeeper with the mother-in-law points to the fact that in both cases it seems to be about the positive, right, rather than the insidious reasons that they're trying to steal from you. V'rabbanan amrim, but the Rabbanan disagree, and they say anotin l'chamato kinotin l'shchento. Now, when you give to your mother-in-law, right, they are not going to treat it just like as your neighbor, because the way Rav Chaim Kanievsky says is because the Rabbanan are worried that the only person going to switch out the quality is the innkeeper who wants 5-star review, right? They want Eitan to write, not only was it a great steak, but they took my rotting food and replaced it with good food and gave me a gourmet meal. But your neighbor, and they assume also Mishpacha will be, you know, because on the one hand, your Mishpacha wants everything good for you. On the other hand, we all understand that if it's just family, sometimes we're more like, okay, just family, right? Like, right, Lichnat said him, right? Sometimes you want to do the best for your family, and sometimes being with your family is more hamish, right? It's more hamish. It's like, okay, so I know the cake tastes good. So whatever, so it didn't come out in a perfect shape, but like, family, who cares? But if you have guests, suddenly it's, oh, I have to rebake it. It needs to, you know what I mean? Right, there's gum to gum, right? It's, you know, both are true, right? There's, when you're home, you know, oh, I haven't seen you. You haven't been home. You've been in yeshiva all year. I'll make your favorite dish. And mitzat sheni, there's the, right? It's not about fancy. It's about, you know. Yeah, exactly, right? So there's that duality. So the question is, what is primary with the family here? And then the Gemara says, Gahada detani, like the following. I note in l'shchento pot levodlo, that if you give your neighbor bread to bake, meaning in Amoret, Tav shelasilo, or food to be cooked, ain't a chosesh lo mishum shviv and lo mishum masro. You don't have to be worried that they swapped it out for shmita or maser, right? For, or meaning demai issues. Ema type is marginalis to or vitavlin. But the Gemara said there is an exception, and that is if you gave all the ingredients, including the spices and the yeast, right? Or the starter. Avalim lo nadlo sor vitavlin, right? But if you're, take an example, right? Let's say I have a neighbor and whatever, I don't know, we have another child and, right? So you have a food train, right? A meal train. Elamai, my kids are gluten-free, right? So, you know, I don't have time to cook, but I say, listen, I understand that all of your ingredients are gluten-free. Here's the ingredients and you can make it, right? So if I give them everything, including the spices, so then I assume they use the food that I gave. But let's say I forgot to give spices. Then what are you worried about with your neighbor? Yeah, big deal. So it's a neighbor. I'm being a neighbor. So I'll use my own spices. It's not like, right? I'm doing a favor, right? It's right. I'm not going to nickel and dime you and say, oh, you forgot to give me the cinnamon. I mean, like, right? That's not what I'm going to do. The problem is, what if it's, you know, they're using whatever, and therefore, if I didn't give the spices, I do have to, all right? Aval imlonat and lasor v'tavlin. So if I didn't give the starter, right? I didn't give the yeast. I didn't give the spices. Choshesh mishum shvirim mishum maser. It's not that I have to be worried that they swapped it out. It's that they were being good neighbors. Now there's a slight problem here, which is that Tosfot thinks that spices are what? Very good. Our putter from Truman and Maestro. So how do you deal with this? So so there's two possibilities in Tosfot. One is he says maybe this is only asor lechuda. Right, according to Tosfot, it doesn't, even though it says spice, it doesn't mean it. That's one answer in Tosfot. The second answer in Tosfot, in Nida Nun is no, there's different types of spices. Right? There's spices like onions and garlic where they're not just spice, they have a mamashut. They're a vegetable which you use as a spice, and that's chayav. Right? And then there's like cinnamon. Right, cinnamon, which you, or black pepper, or something like that, where you only use it as a spice. Well, it has to be something that grows from ground, salt, but I'm saying, which comes from a tree, and that is according to Tosfot Pater. Right, Marfold doesn't quote that, but that's the other day in Tosfot. Right, that spices, which are only spices, are Pater, but spices, vegetables that can be used as spices, are Chayav. So, probably Chayav, I guess, I'm not sure. According to this,
No.
He's talking about bechalos, that it's always pater. It's not not because of switching. It's just pater. Right? Tosfot holds spices are pater always. They're just not chayav and maitre. That's the problem. Is how could someone be chashud if the thing is not chayav at all? And that, so Marfolda says, either you're right. It's talking only about the starter, or like Tosfot actually says. It depends on the spice. Some spices, which are vegetables, which use for spice, are chayev and spice. Correct. Like onions, garlic, whatever. Good.
Is that extended for like other things where spices are important, like for
Tom? So spices do have unique things, both in Hilchot Yontif, right, in terms of what are they called, the ochel or the machshire ochel, right, and nafkamina for, yeah, so that is a big, right, that's a big sugya. We did it a little bit when we did the question of whether Chazal argue about Metziut, remember? But Beitza Yadalid, about which spices you can do and which way you do it and do they lose their taste. But yeah, they have a different status, right? They're an in-between status between food and not food, which has nafkamina for cooking on Yantiv, cooking on Shavuot, right? Like things like that. So now the Gemara says, so which type of mother-in-law are we talking about? Either Macham Otom in a Erusim and a Nisuin. Is it your mother-in-law from Erusin, which, now what's Erusin? You're halachically married, but they don't live together, right? Because they're still usher to each other, right? The woman is now usher akala olam, but they're also usher to her husband. Nisuin is when she becomes mutter to her husband. So is it you're already related from Erisin, but is it your mother-in-law from Erisin or Nisuin? So the Gemara says, what's the svara? What's the difference? So the Gemara the Mishnah had given two reasons why a mother-in-law would switch out the food. One is because she doesn't want her daughter to have to eat bad food. And the other is because she's embarrassed to make bad food for her son-in-law. What's the nafkamina? No, if they don't live together, right? If her son-in-law gives her food, right? So if you think it's about what her daughter is eating, her daughter is still living in her house. So she'll make bad food for her son-in-law. And her daughter-in-law is still eating at her table and she'll have the good food. But if it's because she's embarrassed to give bad food to her son-in-law, then it'll even be if only her son-in-law is eating and not her daughter.
This is where the Jewish mother-in-law
So the Gemara says, Nishmana Manada, that Moder Rabbi Yehuda benot l'chamot ha-shvit. So the Mishnah said that Rabbi Yehuda agrees that by Shemitah, she'en ha-chashut l'achal bita shvit. She's not going to give her daughter shvit. Now, Shnaya Yitamon ben Rezim ben Rezim ben Nisuin. So he says, right, since by right, meaning by the point is like this, that if by Shemitah that's clearly Minha Nisuin, and what do you say? That Minha, right, that she's not Chashud. right? So that implies, so that reason, right, is implied that that svara applies also by Erison. Because if it's not about eating good food, it's about making someone violate an Isser, right, the Shemitah, that's ostensibly true, Erison and Nisuin. So from here, we assume that in the end of the day, because of the dual reasons, right, right, meaning her concern for her daughter and for her son-in-law, that, right, exactly, that his mother-in-law, the halacha of mother-in-law are the same, Erison and Nisuin, that is, Marafulda, Kilat Yaakov. Now, this is assuming that it's based on Rabbi Yehuda. However, the Derech Amuna thinks that if you follow Rambam, you can say that the question is on, not on Rabbi Yehuda, but on the Chachamim, namely that a mother-in-law, right, is not suspected of changing the food ever. And the Gemara's question goes like this. Right, that the mother-in-law by Nisuin has more reason not to switch it than by Erison. So you maybe think that according to the Chacham, only a mother-in-law from Erison is not suspected, but not by Nisuin, because only when her daughter's involved, she's not going to switch it. Kamash Malan, that no, we're never worried that she's going to switch it, whether it's for her daughter or her son-in-law. Hadron Allah Machilin Ed Ha'aniyim, and we'll pick up with the new Mishnah.